Start. Hi, Thomas. Now we have a longer session. We have three talks. Thomas Greckel is starting. Then we are talking about the XI project, small status report, and then Mark Burton and David are giving short talks. I'm very happy that we have Thomas Greckel here. I think he is in Novosibirsk located right now. Am I right, Thomas?
Yes, that's right. Yep. Greetings from sunny Novosibirsk.
Yeah, and we're very happy to hear something from CTEC, a very old service which you are running, I think, since more than 20 years, associated to the RepEx service. And yeah, we are very happy to have you here, and welcome.
Okay. Several times I heard, you know, in these introductory talks, you know, when people try to give some sort of humorous remark about what they're trying to talk about, it's like this statement from the last husband of Elizabeth Taylor, you know, saying, I know what the job is, but now the problem is how to make it interesting. I wanted to look it up where it is, but actually in my case it's just the opposite. I find the job interesting, but I don't really know what I'm talking about. Let me start with some acknowledgements, really. The work that I'm described here is funded by a Russian state organization, which is the Russian Academy for National Economy and State Service. The full title here I give in Russian down there. I've also had some email exchange with Min, which have helped me, the earlier speaker here. And generally, I'm going to give some general background about what we're doing, and that's still fairly precise, and I reasonably know what I'm talking about. And then I'm going to talk about parsing of Russian references, presumably using conditional random fields, where I don't really know much about and where my general uncertainty comes along. That's it, really. So CTEC, yes, as Philip mentioned, is an old project. Basically, what it does, it provides some citation index for documents in the RepEx Digital Library, which I founded going back to 1993, essentially a distributed publishing operation for working papers in economics that then grew into some sort of general index of economics documents. CTEC was founded and has been operated by José Manuel Baricruz, who was my first disciple on the RepEx project, and he's been running it since 2001. So really what it does, it parses references from full-text working papers. It also looks into reference string data that publisher have been giving us in recent years. More and more publishers have contributed data to the RepEx index of economics documents, and these often contain references. So we're citing those, and we're studying those. And out of these parsed references, we can build citation data for RepEx papers, and then these citation data are exported to other RepEx services. So in principle, CTEC doesn't have much of a user interface. Users go to find CTEC information and in other RepEx services where they integrate into bibliographic information about the papers. All right. So yeah, so the input comes just in CTEC. We use bibliographic data from RepEx, and then we get some full text papers that are not freely available. We get those on a confidential basis, basically to do some citation indexing for them. There are stored copies of RepEx full text documents, so mainly working paper data. But in principle, the full.
This is calling me. Hi, Thomas.
Yeah, I guess what I was talking was too boring, eh?
It's not your fault.
A laptop fell asleep.
It's our Wi-Fi.
Yeah. You're so polite.
But really, everyone in the room lost his connection at the same time because
they
encrypted the guest access for whatever reason.
Oh, what is like. That's how stupid, you know, how stupid all these encryptions are. They just take away a lot of computations.
So let's hope this will work right out of the box. Oh, I know what the problem is. speakers. Oh, I thought it was this. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, nice. Okay, now we can hear you as well.
And I can hear myself.
Yeah, and you have to share your slide, your screen.
I thought I had done the screen sharing, but moment, I'm going to try to do it again. And now I'm hunting for my... Where is that?
So there's a plus on the bottom.
Yeah, there's a plus on the bottom, but where is that damn window that has to call, eh? Where is it now, huh? Where is it now? Come on. Oh, yes, it's in the same window as my, is here. Yeah. It's on the same, and it's on the same screen as here. Here's demonstrated with Ikran. What I хорошо. Now I've done that. Now you have demonstrated with my Ikran. Slide source, start from the first slide. Let's go down with our slides. And let's skip the slide on inputs and start briefly looking about the tools. How does it look like? At the center of SciTech, we have a MySQL database. We use the popular PDF text extractor. That's the only one Hostman had worked with. And then Hostman used ParseSight basically out of the box without any changes, and it works. And then the whole thing is together by some in-house Perl scripts. And that's really what SciTech sums it up. The main important thing about SciTech, since it's been running since 2001, so it's really about sustainability. What RepTech is all about, really. It's about keeping things running. It's not using the latest and greatest technology without external funding. We have a tiny external funding source with a company that actually sponsored the server. And then José Manuel Cruz does all the work in maintaining it, right? So it's not likely to go down like OPSIT or Sitebase projects that started with great fanfare but closed down very quietly as soon as the funding for them was finished, okay? So now here's the new kid on the block is SciTech Seer. That's what I came along with when we started this, and that's what the title comes from. Really, it's a funded project now by the Russian state organization I mentioned in the second slide, and that really combines two unfunded projects, essentially SciTech and something in Russia called SocialNet, really. And so the basic objective is to take the SciTech technology and build a citation database from a Russian publication. Now, the name is really somewhat confusing because it doesn't really convey what the project is about, but that's the name we're currently stuck with. So basically, we're having a two-part system, right? We have a system called SocialNet, right, which sounds something like a social thing. And yes, it initially comes from a disciple of mine, Sergei Ivanovich Parinov, who set up a Russian version of RepTech called RuPEC. And that then evolved into SocialNet, which was then for the broader social sciences. But mainly, it's been aggregating a lot of data about Russian scientific publications. Okay, and so that gives us basically access to metadata about papers and about papers themselves, and then we will have SciTech Seer basically using the SciTech technology to build the citation index for this bibliographic data, right? The aim for the whole project is to be openly available, so we want to try to make the software and the data to be reusable. And because we have this two-node start, we are immediately in a need to actually make some coordination between these two nodes, between the SciTech and the SciTech Seer nodes. So for that, we've already developed some protocols on how to get this to work. The first protocol I want to mention is Fraga. Basically, it's a metadata format to express the result of a citation parsing effort. So of a reference parsing effort and citation linking. So basically, the status information that SciTech already has about the documents that are looked at by SciTech is made publicly available in an XML format, a very simple XML format, and it being put out for the SciTech data. Okay. Another protocol has come out of this that I've set up, and that has mainly to do with the actual collection of full text PDF papers, is LAFCA. So LAFCA is a project or protocol to actually gather a full text documents from references, from URLs to such full text, that may be available in metadata, like OAI PMH metadata that says, oh, full text is here, right? And it's storage in VARC files. So this is a generic protocol that has been developed by the digital preservation community. And this is implemented in part for Socinet and RepEC. There are some parts that are not implemented have to do with deeper digging for these actual documents, and then there's a URL given it. And then there is this sit. I mean, it was mentioned in about a couple of talks ago that challenging bulk, that sharing bulk data is still a challenge. I don't think that it is. If you use rsync, public rsync, it will do it very, very easily. I mean, I'm distributing the whole of RepEC to people who are in the know via public rsync is something that is completely painless. You simply set up the public rsync file and people just go and download it. And since rsync only distributes incremental changes, it's incredibly fast to do. But there's a little bit more to this than just rsync. We're also distributing XML files, and we have a way to link XML files to some description of what we expect to be in these XML files using a schema language called Relaxing that you may have heard about. Okay, so the idea is just to bring these protocols together, wrap them up, and then have something available that we can set up in 5 minutes rather than some OAI PMH server that will take us years to set up and it requires constant maintenance. And again, the spec is available at the URL mentioned in the slides, right? Now, there's some other aspects to Citex here which have to do with the usage of the citation data once it is there in terms of PDF annotation. It's something that Sergei Ivanovich Parinov likes. For my part and for Jose Manuel's part, we're really interested in building the Russian citation index. And that means to looking at reference data, either we're getting it from PDFs or we're getting it from providers, publishers that have given us reference data, and then we're looking at this. And for me, that really means to looking at Russian language reference data, right? So if we're getting reference data, we're looking at making specific citation index for Russian data, which means that we're looking at Russian language references to other languages, to other documents that are in Russian, okay? So I don't know exactly what the state of play is. Again, you know, I'm getting more and more hand waving as I go along. I think Scopus and Web of Science don't actually do any Cyrillic documents. So references to these documents have to be transliterated into Latin, into Roman script, sorry. And therefore, unfortunately, there has been a tendency to translate or transliterate references. Okay, there's also one established commercial player in the area known as the Russian Index of Scientific Publications, but it's not an open project. Okay. So Citec uses Parsit, and it has been mentioned here, and it works very well, and it works completely out of the box. Okay. I believe that it's because it's been used with computer science in mind, and economics has a citation style that is similar to one that is used in economics, so it works out of the box, which is amazing. And it's written in Perl, which I know, and it's actually understandable Perl. You know, Perl has a reputation of being read-only code, right? So I actually did study Parsit to try to adapt it to our situation, right? There are some issues that I find there, you know. The regular expression needs to be changing. I wrote a lie before that. The dictionaries make them, they're hard to extend. So part of the code will duplicate it, and part of the code deals with OmniPage. So at this time, I'm actually thinking of rewriting, starting trying to restructure Parsit, is to rewrite a specific parser for Russian reference strings that actually takes into account the specificity of the strings, and it lifts parts of the Parsit code for inspiration rather than restructuring Parsit, which would be a lot of work and essentially would make me the maintainer of something that is derived from Parsit. Okay? So the data source that we currently have comes from an organization called NACON. I don't know what that organization does. I've been to the last conference. I still don't know fully what that does. But what I do know is that we got about 500,000 reference strings from them, to parse. Okay. Now, as again, the objective is to do parsing of Russian reference strings. So these 900,000 references contain references in English, so non-Russian references, and there are some transliterations and some translation of Russian strings in there. So it then becomes difficult to know what the Russian reference actually is. But at this time, I want to concentrate on things that essentially only contains the Russian strings. José Manuel tells me in order to build a citation out of a reference, the system needs to know the authors, the titles, and the years. Okay. So as a limitation, I'm going to be looking at references that own that contain all three of those. So if one of those fails, I'm not going to use the reference string further, right? So I'm not going to look at laws and other government documents and at patents. Now, looking at actually in manual, looking at the reference strings that I have, there's actually quite a few patents and government documents being cited in this. They are going to be falling by the wayside. I guess it's about 15%. The way that I then approach the issue of looking at essentially Russian citations is to look at use a concept called a rombar, which is a Roman bag. So basically, I look at all the references, and I try to find out well how many Roman characters that I actually have in this particular citation string, and then if I have none, then I put them into the Roman bag zero, and I've got one, then I put them in the Roman bag one, and so on, right? And so that's a way to actually then look up these strings and then start to make sure that I'm actually going to be looking only at citations that really have virtually only Russian Cyrillic characters, right? So here are the stats that I have. I have about, 270,000 documents that contain absolutely no Latin character, and then I have 12,000 that contain one, and 10,000 that contain two, and so on, right? Now, a reference string may be completely in Russian, but still may use some Roman characters. So, for example, in history, right, there's a lot of titles that talk about the Divit Nacity Vivek, right, the 19th century. Who wants to write Divit Nacity when you can write XIX for 19th, right? So, and that's what they often do, right? So let us a little bit look at some examples of the type of strings that we're doing. This is basically the annotation that you see here in XML is what I've already added to the string as basically determining the three fields that are of interest to me. So these are part of a learning data set that I'm actually constructing at the moment. Since it's a very boring job, I'm trying to call my friends and tell them, don't you want to talk with me? I have this boring job to do where I'm actually annotating this sort of stuff. But here's an example. So the authors here are Korn, Fleischmann, and Yukashov, right? You see them at the beginning, and you see that they are followed by essentially just the abbreviated names. That is extremely common in Russia across not only scientific publications, but also, say, for example, lists of musical works. You go to a classical music concert, right, you will see the names of the composers abbreviated in this format, right? You see that then there follows a title, and then after the title, which is followed with the T element, then I have a slash slash. And the slash slash really follows then basically trailing matter, and so tells me where the publication is. So there's a lot of these strings that have this construction with the slash slash, which is fairly good. So then it becomes not all that difficult to actually analyze, because once you have the surnames, right, and you can see with the abbreviated names to detect the authors is quite easy. Afterwards, you have the title. Here's another example that actually uses only one slash, right? So we have this Dmitrynenko, a chap. And the title ends here, and afterwards it comes after Rev, this, dot, 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 dot. I think this is a PhD dissertation of some sorts, right? This string here, after Rev, this comes again. It uses this slash then later on, but the after Rev really is a hint that at this particular point, the title is finishing, right? A third example here, yeah, it does happen that you do not have any separator after the title. So the title here ends with a dot, right? That's where I assume the title ends, but I have to be a human to actually find out, and I actually have to be a human who has some reasonable understanding of Russian to point out where the end actually is. This quotes here are fairly unusual, so this is not the normal feature to say, oh, there's some publication title that actually comes with quotes. And then worse than this, you see this particular feature, this particular example here, does not have any blanks. So actually, when you're looking at this, Shulgin M.A., right, the guy here up here, afterwards, immediately after the M.A. dot, immediately finds the next Savrnitelnaya, the word Savrnitelnaya, without a dot. Similar thing, you see Lechkich here, which is actually, I think this should be an O with a U, dot, and then immediately comes the ship. This is these are citation things I'm not sure we actually going to be able to pass because the lack of a dot. And unfortunately, there are a few, maybe between 5 and 10% of them that are afflicted with lack of dots. Okay. So summarizing this. Okay. So no first names in the authors. First of all, no markers for anything used. The strings usually start with the authors. If they're authors, if they're no authors, we're not going to consider it anyway. Okay. The fact that we have no first names actually makes it easier to find out where the authors are because we can use for abbreviated capital letters, okay? And I've been doing work on actually hunting down author names. So I took a stock of author names from a website and then I looked at the actual references that I have and tried to mime them for more author names, okay? So, and I'm also going to attempt to take the bibliographic information again, mime that for author last names. So that I have a number of author last names and that gives me both the beginning of the citation as well as leads me towards the beginning of the title string, okay? The years are relatively easy to spot. It's essentially like something like a 1000 or 2000, 1900 and 2000 or something like that string at the end, towards the end, right? Past it has this location parameter that goes between 1 to 12 that may be useful in here to use some sort of location thing in here, okay? The problem, the remaining problem then is to really find out where the title is. Now, the titles really start after the list of. So the start of the title is easy to find. The problem then is the end of the title, right? So the end of the title is a problem. So here is my current thinking, which I haven't implemented, is to develop a concept that I call tailicity. So I'm looking at actual strings that have the slash slash, and there's quite a few of those that have the slash slash. I'm going to look up those, and I'm going to determine that everything after the slash slash is not part of the title. I'm going to count the amount of features here in these, and then associate with every feature a tailicity factor, which means how much I've seen it after the slash slash, okay? So that I then know how much I expect that to happen towards the end. So if the slash slash is not present, I can see a string of words or features that have low tailicity, followed by a sequence of words that have high tailicity, and that should be able to give me the end, okay? So here is some features that I want to be using here: surnames, initials, the slash, and the double slash, right? The tailicity, the location, and then the potential year, right? I'm also going to use presumably the generic features that PASS provides me with, and that's what I'm going to be looking at, okay? Now, PASS it actually tokenizes features at blanks. And as I've said, you know, doing parsing, tokenizing at blanks will make it, I think, impossible to take references where the actual fields are not delimited by blanks. So where there is no space between the title, between the author and the title and the title of the location string or other information that follows the title. And I'm not sure what to do about that. Obviously, not tokenizing at the string. Not tokenizing at white space is going to be making the application very different from existing things, and I'm not sure if I should be going down that road. So advice on this would be quite welcome. I'm afraid that's basically the state of play that we're dealing with here, right?
Okay, thank you very much for your talk. I will now switch on the camera. I think we don't have so much time for questions. Thanks to the connection problem, not your fault. I can show you around at least. So maybe I can start. One remark about this problem with the missing spaces.
Yeah.
Simple approach would be, which I also had to use at one point, to just add spaces if you have a period, for example. Would that be an issue? I mean, to just, if you have a period after some word, you just add a space after it and then put it into parse site.
Well, I'm not sure, because this is not just simply a matter of periods, right? It's also a matter of slashes where it appears.
Okay.
I mean, you could say, okay, here's a series of features of punctuations, and I'm going to be adding a period, a space before and after that particular punctuation. And I normalize the punctuation. It's an idea. It's an idea. The problem then it becomes for me, I'm not sure what, how I bring this in with my my training data set, but it's something to think about. But certainly it would make it less, it would make it less less of a problem than really, say, for example, using word boundaries. I mean, you could imagine treating blanks as features like any other thing, right? And just do word boundaries or boundaries of chains of characters, right? Problem there are dashes, when the dash, say for example, connects two words, possibly something like a hyphenation, can't use them, another dash, right? There are some hyphenated names, I think, but there are a few of those. So but you still think that tokenizing after space is the way to go as a basic approach?
I guess if you want to recycle parse site, then that's the easiest.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
More questions? Not the case. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.